How's everybody? Everybody's be coming on in, and let me tell you what this service is all about. It's about a lot of stuff, but all right, I'm gonna wait until you get in here. I'm not gonna say a word till you get in here.
Y'all, come on.
You can.
Hello. Can you hear me?
All right, good morning. I want to welcome you to Eagles Way Church. If you're a visitor today for the first time, then we welcome you. This service is going to be different than what our normal Sunday morning service looks like. It's called Callie Mae Day. That's my mother. She's 96 years old. And she has been the longest attending member for 51 years now. And so all of the songs this morning are hymns of days gone by that you will enjoy. And one thing I want to recognize today is also Grandparent Day. Yeah. So if you're a grandparent like I am, you know why they put grand in front of that? Because you're grand. You're a grandparent. One thing to be a parent, it's another thing to be a grandparent. That's an awesome thing. So if you're visiting, pick you up a glass tumbler when you're going out the door. And again, thank you for being here. Would you just stand with me and let's open up in prayer? Father, we thank you for this day and every day. Thank you for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, of which, Lord, that you're the foundation of and we build our lives upon. And we just bless each and every person here. We enter into worship and praise to glorify you and to honor other people. In Christ's name, amen.
I'm ready. Good morning. Hey, I didn't know they were waiting on me, so that's fine. Good morning. Glad to be here this morning. We're going to do some old hymns. I want you to really sing along with us because I know you know these songs. So we're glad to be here. God bless you.
I heard an old, old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. Precious blood's atoning. If I repented of my sins and won the victory, oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me and walk again and cause the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory.
Sing out.
Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me and I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. For me in glory, story, and some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He's on me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me and I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
You can clap.
Would he be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood.
In the blood
of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be wider, much wider than snow? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Sin stains are lost in its life-giving flow. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood.
Come on.
This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight. Visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending, bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love.
Let's sing it real like we made it now.
This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
So sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, and to know, thus saith the Lord,
Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I proved him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more.
Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust his cleansing blood, just in simple faith to
Jesus, how I trust him, how I proved him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more.
Yes, 'tis sweet to trust in Jesus, dry us from sin.
Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more.
I'm so glad I learned to trust the precious Jesus.
Jesus, how I trust him, how I proved him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him.
Ever
in awesome wonder, consider all the words thy hands have made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art! Sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art! How great thou art! When through the forest glades I wander and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees. When I look down from lofty mountain grandeur and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art! How sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art! How great thou art! When Christ shall come, shout of acclamation and take me home. What joy shall fill my heart? Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art! How great thou art! How
was asked to come up and say a few things about my perspective to from being a pastor's son and a pastor's wife's son. And Miss Callie Mae, you know I love you. I'm going to come kiss you when I get down from here. So don't be mad at me today. I was sitting over there and something stirred in me this morning that hadn't stirred in me. Hadn't stirred me in a while. And I heard those hymns. And I'm a person that watches people. Because I think ministry is all about knowing where people are and knowing where they need to be. And being able to notice them where exactly they are and being able to love them right there. And my mama taught me that. Miss Callie Mae, you taught Buren that. And Buren taught Dusty that. And Dusty's teaching John Henry that. And she's teaching Anna that. She's teaching Jet that. Your legacy is alive right now because of the prayers that you prayed over Buren when he was out doing God knows what. But those God knows what prayers has him sitting right there where he is. And when I look up and I hear him speak the words that I know that only can come from God himself, that he's gotten in touch with the God inside of him and he knows that he's a shepherd. But it's the mamas, Miss Callie Mae. Edie was a good man, but you prayed those prayers. And you believed that God was going to touch his heart and touch his soul, and he did. Your faith is so strong. My mama's faith was so strong that it didn't matter where we were. They loved us right where we were. You're a mighty woman of God. And all the spouses of pastors, I can only imagine what you guys go through. We used to go to Shoney's buffets all the time. I still like Shoney's buffets. But I love you, Miss Callie Mae. And your legacy is alive right now, and it bleeds through these pastors in this church because Buren has been my father. Buren has been our father. He's been our shepherd. And that good shepherd that he is because of you. And I love you. Amen. This next song coming up, my eyes are so watery, I can't read right now. It's called Bound for That. It's Bound for This City. Bound for That City. Well, in my book, it's this city right here. This is where we're bound this morning. From what I understand, it was one of Buren's favorite songs, and he sang it all the time. And I think he does it well. I don't know why he's not up here. But I also know that we might hear some shundas this morning coming out from Miss Callie Mae. So you guys be prepared for the shundas this morning.
There's a city of light where there cometh no night, for the sun never sets in the sky. Well, in the Bible we're told that the streets are pure gold and the cool, gentle river runs by. City, God's holy white city. Oh, yes, I am. I'll never turn back to this world anymore. No matter how rough may be the way, no matter how oft I stop to pray, I'm bound for that city on that evergreen shore. Little children will play, and our hearts will be gay as we stroll through that city of pure gold. No more dying up there, and no more burdens to bear, for nobody will be feeble. City, God's holy white city. Oh, yes, I am. I'll never turn back to this world anymore. No matter how rough may be the way, no matter how hard I stop to pray,
I'm bound for that city on that evergreen shore. Yeah, I'm bound for that city, God's holy white city. Oh, yes, I am. I'll never turn back to this world anymore. No matter how rough may be the way, no matter how oft I stop to pray, I'm bound for the city on that evergreen shore.
We on?
Yeah.
We tried to find this mother when I was singing as a little boy on Daddy's old tapes, but finding it on them reel-to-reel is a pretty difficult thing to do. So we'll just do it one more time, just that verse. Ready? Let's just do the second verse.
The second verse, okay.
I'll help you with that one.
Okay, please do.
Ready?
Little children will play,
go ahead,
and their hearts will be so gay as they stroll through the city of gold. And there'll be no dying there, and no more burdens to bear, and nobody will be. I am. I'll never turn back into this world anymore. No matter how rough may be the way, no matter how long I stop to pray, I'm bound for that city on that evergreen shore.
Michael, you forgot to receive the offering, so thank you. Our ushers will be coming and to receive the offering. Kitty just be playing for a little bit. And thank you for being here. And I'm going to ask Mark Goss, my nephew, to join me up here for a moment. And you guys just go ahead and be passing the buckets, and y'all just fill them up. And if y'all know this guy, this is Mark Goss. This is quite a young man here that I'm extremely proud of. And when I called him the other day and asked him would he say something for Mother this morning, he graciously said yes. So, Mark, God bless you.
Thank you. I did say yes, and I want you to know I'm as calm as I can be right now. Anybody that gets up here, this is dittos to you. This is pretty tough, but I'm also very excited to honor such a great woman that some people know her as Miss Goss, and some people know her as Miss Callie, and I have the privilege of knowing her as grandmother. And when Bieran asked me to speak and kind of come from a grandchild's point of view, I had to think about it, and I said, you know, I'm going to go back to when I was a child. And the first thing that came to my head was all those camping trips that we used to go on. Now, this don't have anything to do with church, so I wanted to just show a part of grandmother that if you've seen her here at church, I can tell you she's the same at home. But we went on a great many camping trips and had a good time and a lot of memories, and that's something that I will cherish forever. I always have that memory. But there was one in particular camping trip that we had that really I remember the most. And it's kind of like one of those things when, you know, something happens in history and you know where you were that day. Well, mine was when grandmother and granddad went on a camping trip without me. Now, grandmother, don't worry. This gets good, okay? I'll tell you that. But granddad apparently told grandmother he wanted to go on a camping trip one time without the grandkids. Now, I don't know if it was just a weak moment he had, or maybe he just had something to do with, you know, trying to keep two and three grandchildren from fighting each other and trying to keep, you know, if you go fishing with a 6, 7, or 8-year-old, you don't fish. You simply sit there and untangle their lines out of stuff that it shouldn't even be tangled up with. Or he just had a weak moment, so. But anyway, grandmother told him, I found this out from grandmother later on. She told him, she said, we can do this trip, but you're going to have to load this camper up without them seeing you. Now, some of you don't know, I grew up and we lived right beside grandmother. So when I was 6 or 7 years old, if we seen that camper being loaded, we just knew we were going with them. It was just automatic. That's, you know, we'd come down there with our bags packed, ready to go with them. Somehow or another, they was able to pack that camper up without us even seeing it. And I don't know if it was that same day or the next morning, but me and my brother was in the kitchen, and we heard granddaddy's truck crank up. And like two good grandchildren, had to figure out what was going on, so we went outside, and I see grandmother and granddaddy going down the driveway with a camper going behind them. I told my brother, I said, I know they're not going camping because we're not with them. Something must be wrong with the camper. And they're trying to figure it out. So I went, I said, I'll go to the edge of the road and I'll flag granddaddy down and we'll get this thing figured out. So I went out there and Harry comes up the road and I'm out there waving like this right here. To a 6-year-old, that means stop right here. I need to talk to you. So apparently it was very serious because granddaddy was 10-2, looking straight ahead. Grandmother apparently had lost something in the floorboard because she was steadily staring down. So I knew it was pretty serious. I hope she found what she was looking for. But as they went by, I happened to look in the back of the truck and noticed that the truck was completely packed up for camping. So I turned around like my brother and just yelled out, they forgot all about us. So I took off running, chasing them down a dirt road. Now I knew to stay in grandmother's mirror because granddaddy was focused, and I knew if anybody could stop this truck, it'd be grandmother. Well, they went on and made their trip. But apparently grandmother did make the mistake of looking in the mirror and saw me. I don't know if anybody's ever seen Castaway, but when he lost Wilson, that was me. I'm running up the dirt road, and I'm just screaming. I found out a couple of years later, from that point on, they never went on a camping trip without us. Now, I found out later, grandmother told granddaddy, she said, E.D., I hope you had a good time, because that's the last time we're going on vacation without them grandkids. I say that. That's just one of many stories that I had. Grandmother, I just want you to know that that was just one little thing that you made us, I'm talking for me, and I know for all the grandkids, you made us feel like we were the most important thing in your life. The love you gave us, like Mike said, it will trickle down from generation to generation. It is a positive thing, and it goes out through eternity. Grandmother, you raised up two young boys and turned them into great men that have been such a good thing to this city. And I just want you to know how much I love you. You have impacted your grandchildren more than you'll ever know. And not only that, but there's people that you don't even know, people that go here and people that don't go here, that you've impacted just because them knowing you. So I just want you to know how much I love you, and I hope you remember this day forever. I love you.
Um, I remember a few camping trips. I don't remember that you went on that many camping trips with the other grandkids. This is the truth. I really didn't know that you took Michael, Mark, and Miranda a lot. Okay? I went on a few of them, I know. I just don't seem to remember going on every time you packed up the camper. But what I do remember was fun. I probably don't have as many memories as you, Mark, of those camping trips. But you imagine four grandkids and a camper, and you think, Dad, how it is when it's, and Mom, my three kids, in your house. Imagine four little people in a camper. In a camper. It's a joy to celebrate this day, and if it really every day deserves to be Cali May Day. I have so many wonderful memories. It's hard to know where to begin. From Big Mama rocking me singing Don't Cry Baby Bunkin' to saving my life when my parents tried to put me in daycare. She literally saved my life. Mom and Dad had this bright idea one day that Big Mama had kept me, you know, all day for, and I don't know how old I was, and they were going to try, I think, Blackwell's daycare. And it was hell, and it was awful, and I cried and I begged, and Big Mama, she cried, please don't take her to that daycare, and I cried, please don't take me to that daycare. And they thought they were giving her a break, and I think it was one day Dad was taking me, and the closer he got to that daycare, the closer I got to him, and he'd get a little closer, then I'd get even closer to him. He just said, oh, whatever, and he turned around, pulled up, and Big Mama saved my life. And she kept me every single day until I started school. By the time I was five, I was drinking coffee like a champ. And we would start my day out, and she'd fix me my coffee. She'd put, I don't know, a cup of sugar in it. It was cut with evaporated milk. How many ever used evaporated milk to sweeten your coffee? And she was so precious and sweet because the coffee was hot, even though it had half evaporated milk in it. It was still really hot. So I always had a cup and saucer. And she would pour the coffee into the saucer so it would cool off. And I would drink it out of the saucer, and she'd pour a little bit until it cooled down. I could eat more cheese toast than any other five-year-old around. By the time I was five, I knew what Jee-haw meant, and I knew that Big Mama wasn't going to do it with me. She wasn't going to do it with anyone. And nobody could tuck you in bed like Big Mama because you couldn't move. She would get right over you, like tower over you with these long arms and big hands, and she would tuck, tuck, tuck. And I remember lying there thinking, there's no getting out of this. Like, you were there till morning. And I think she really had something, was on to something, because I really could have used that on Jet when he was about 2 and 3, and I could use that on Jet now, but you couldn't move. And I can remember lying there, and we didn't have an air conditioner running. The window was always up, and I can hear the crickets now. I can remember laying and listening to the sounds of outside, and I can remember wanting to see what the moon looked like, but I couldn't move, so I couldn't go see what the moon looked like. And we'd wake up in the morning, she'd wake me up, she'd fix me my coffee, my cheese toast, and then she would let me, one of my greatest joys was going to wake my grandfather up. She always let me do it, and that was my favorite thing to do, to tell him breakfast was ready. And so we would sit, drink our coffee, and listen to an old white radio and listen to the news on it. And then Granddaddy would go to work and go about his day, and then her sister lived across the street. my Aunt Kate, and she would come across the street, and we would sit down together, and we would snap peas. And I would dip snuff with my Aunt Kate, and it was fantastic. And Big Mama was totally fine with it. Aunt Kate, she made dipping snuff look fantastic. And I thought, and she'd always have her little tissue stuck in her bra. And so she would bring me tissues, she'd bring me a Dixie cup, and she brought me cocoa powder, and I really thought that I was dipping snuff. And so I would have cocoa powder in my mouth, my tissue here, in my cup. Every time she would spit, I would spit. And that's just what we did, and I would listen to the most fantastic stories. And now when I look back on what a day looked like, that's when you realize they seemed so little and they were so big, because it was those stories and those moments that built me, that created me. And if I could go back and spend one day from my childhood, I would go back to a day with her. And from morning to night, to have all that experience, I would do. That's the day that I would go back to, any day with her. A lot of you, probably most of you, don't know. I used to ask Big Mama a lot of questions, and so I would want to know the story of her life. And it's been a joy to hear those stories. And something that many of you don't know: when she was just a few months old, her dad died. And so she never knew her dad. And then when she was 5, her mom developed typhoid fever, which back then no one survived typhoid fever. And Big Mama was diagnosed with typhoid fever too at the same time. They sent both her mom and her home to die. And she remembers being in one room, her mom being in another room, and her siblings picking her up and carrying her in there to tell her mom bye, because her mom was dying. On the day of the funeral, Big Mama was too weak to go, so they carried her across the street to her aunt and uncle's house for them to care for her while they drove to Stone Mountain to bury her mom. And the doctor had told them, don't feed them. I guess that's just what they did back then. Don't feed them. She's going to die. And she remembers they decided, we're going to fix her black-eyed peas and cornbread. So she can remember what those black-eyed peas tasted like, what that cornbread tasted like. And she remembers just kind of popping up. And she remembers looking out her window and seeing her siblings coming back from burying her mom. And I really feel like that day, God birthed in her the message of this church that the best is yet to come, because on a day that should have been grim, disappointing, heartbreaking, was the day that her fate in life changed and her days began to get better, and she got stronger and she got stronger, and the doctors just couldn't explain it, didn't know what to say, but as we know, the rest is all history. So the day she was orphaned was the day that she was birthed, that was birthed within her, the best is yet to come. How many of you ever heard of the book or the story, Everything I Needed to Know I Learned in Kindergarten? Anybody know that? Everything I ever needed to know in life, I learned from Big Mama. She has lived the most content, the most stress-free, the happiest life of any woman I've ever known. And when I started thinking about some of those lessons that I wanted to share, I thought about some old blogs that I had written and realized she's given me as much blog material almost as Anna Tackle. And so I pulled some of those blogs up, and so these three lessons that I want to share that she taught me come from these old blogs. The first blog I ever wrote about Big Mama was called Big Mama Loves Me, But She Ain't Gonna Sing. It was my birthday, and I was in Oklahoma City, and Big Mama forgot my birthday. And I think Aunt Faye reminded her, and so she calls me, and she's just laughing. I about forgot your birthday. And she's just laughing, and I said, thanks, Big Mom. And she just thinks it's hysterical. And she said, you know, I'd sing happy birthday to you, but there's just one note I can never hit. And so, and she laughed, and I laughed, and one of the biggest life lessons she's taught me is the importance of laughter and how important it is to be able to not only laugh at others, but laugh at yourself and not take life so seriously. She didn't make it a big deal that she forgot my birthday. She thought it was hysterical, and because she thought it was funny, I thought it was funny, but she didn't take, has never taken life so seriously. The second lesson she's taught me in this blog, and I've actually shared about it from up here before, was called Big Mama Says We Talk Too Much. I can remember one day she was, this was after we had moved back to Griffin, and Chris had left to go on a trip, and he had failed to do something. I don't even know what he failed to do. It was just an oversight, and I was so irritated, and she just happens to be at the house seeing my frustration, and I pick up the phone to call him, and she says, put that phone down. And I'm, you just do what Big Mama says to do. And so I'm going to read a little passage from this blog. It said, talk. This is Big Mama. That's the trouble with young people. They think they need to talk everything out. Sometimes you just need to keep your mouth shut. Put the phone down, and just forgive him. And I learned from that, I don't have to address everything that bothers me. I don't have to talk everything out. I need to allow people to fail me, make allowances for their faults, and I need to release forgiveness. And it wasn't that she was saying that healthy communication wasn't important, but she was saying most of the time, just sleep on it. You're going to feel differently tomorrow, and just let it go. You know, I told you before, Big Mama wasn't going to jihad, and she was just not a fan of jihad, period. She wasn't going to jihad with her husband. She wasn't going to jihad with her kids. She's not going to jihad with you right now. She's just not going to do it. And whenever she'd see me to start to raise my voice at my kids, she would say, don't yell at your kids. You'll just make them mad. And that I learned from her, is to not yell at my kids. And you probably need to spend some more time in my house here of late, Big Mama. But she understood that it would provoke the scripture, don't provoke your children to anger, and that she grabbed a hold of that. She was living Proverbs 15, a gentle response deflects anger, long before we were preaching it here. And she, that's been her life message. But she didn't jihad. She still won't jihad. And one of my favorite, and these two blogs are kind of similar, stories. It's this Big Mama solution finder and anti-whiner. And the other one was called Nobody Puts Big Mama in a Corner. And let me, Jet was 9 months old. And I had a meeting at the church, and she was going to come help babysit, but when she got there, Jet was asleep. So she gets there, and this is the story. She says, oh, no, I wish he wasn't sleeping. I'm not sure I can carry him from the crib to the living room when he wakes up. I responded, Big Mama, just call me when he wakes up, and I'll be right home. She was silent. Then she said, no, we can do this. Do you have a stroller? Yes, I told her. Well, all right, get that stroller and put it outside his door. I can pick him up out of that crib. I'll put him in his stroller and push him right into the living room, she said with confidence. Are you sure? Of course I'm sure. Now go on. And that is exactly what she did. Another story with her, we were at Mom and Dad's house, and Jet was maybe two, and we're all sitting in the living room, and I'd been chasing Jet around the house all day long, and I was tired, and I was really joking when I said this. I said, Big Mama, it was just get quiet, and I knew something was up. I said, will you please go find Jet for me? And Mom looked at me like I was the devil, but how dare I ask my 90-something-year-old grandmother to get off her walker and push the walker to find Jet. And I said, I'm just teasing. I was really joking. And she says, I got it. And we all just let her, and Mom's the whole time looking at me like, devil. And so Big Mama gets up off her walker. She pushes it in, and she comes back in, and Jet is sitting on the walker, and she is pushing him back into the living room. And so, and we all just laughed, and then he didn't want to get off because he thought that was the coolest ride ever. And she's just always found a way to make something happen and never complained when something was hard. She's always found solutions. And, you know, she grew up in the Depression era, raised by her oldest brother and sister, who were determined that they're siblings. And she always says with pride, I never stood in a soup line. And those who grew up during that time or studied remember those stories, how often people had to stand in bread lines and soup lines for something to eat. She said, I never had to stand in a bread line or a soup line because my brothers and sisters worked so hard. See, she knew how to overcome moments in life because she had already overcome hard times. And she's taught me, don't make life so hard. Don't let life overwhelm you. Don't complain. You can't be an overcomer without something to overcome. So just go ahead and set your mind to it that you're going to do it. Get through it. And then finally, don't sweat the small stuff. Don't make things so big. You know, whenever I've called Big Mama over the years and I've asked her, how are you doing? She always answers, as far as I know, I'm all right. She's had her moments of weakness for sure, but most of the time, 9 times out of 10, that's the response that I get because she never lets her mind go to anything else. She never lets her thought life go to feeling anything else. You see, she was replacing negative thoughts before replacing negative thoughts were cool. She's been doing this her entire life, and that's why at 94, she was still cutting her own grass. I remember even after she had her stroke, she was in the hospital, and she looked at the doctors and says, I've got to go home today because my grass is high, and I have got to cut it. And she has always just had this can-do attitude. And if I were to come up with or think about one scripture that is the banner of her life, it is, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I can go through a broken heart. I can go through a difficult time. I can make things that seem so hard easier. I can just do it because I can do all things, everything, through Him that gives me strength. I'm Judy Young. I'm about to lose my phone. Hold on. Here it is. Sent me a text, and my phone's dying. I'm going to try to remember this. Judy Young and Delbert, pastor in Lafayette, Georgia, and they were saved under their ministry, this ministry, and have pastored a church for years. But Judy sent me a text, and she said, and she called you, Big Mama, the wind beneath her wings. And she says, I wish you would sing that song. I said, Big Mama, I am not Bette Midler, and I'm Judy, I'm not Bette Midler, and I cannot sing that song. But she called you the wind beneath her wings because she said, you've never felt hope until you felt those big arms reach around you when you have been the most brokenhearted and know that there is hope and know that there are better days ahead. Because she has trusted God with her whole heart, her entire life. She has never stopped believing that all things are possible and that He is able to do more than you can possibly imagine. She never gives up. She never loses hope. She keeps on believing and she keeps on proclaiming the message of Eagles Way Church that the best is always yet to come. Big Mama, I love you. Thank you for saving my life from the evil daycare. Thank you for being the part of my most wonderful childhood memories. Thank you for being the beautiful, wonderful you. Thank you for making me a better mom, a better wife, a better friend, for teaching me not to judge people. I love you with every fiber of my being. And again, I think every day should be Kelly Mae Day.
Your daddy saved your life from daycare. I was taking, she got closer and closer to me. Back then, they stood in the front seat with you. Remember those days? They just driving down the car, and your kid's right there with you, just holding on to them. And she was crying and begging me not to go, and so I wheeled around, took her down to Big Mama's, and went to pick Barbara up at lunch. And she said, well, how was Dusty at daycare? That's funny you asked that. And she's not at daycare. Where is she? She's with Big Mama. And boy, I got blasted. You took her to Big Mama's? I said, I tried to take her to the daycare. I did my best. I got within feet of it. But I want to close this out sharing a few things about Mother that you don't know. One of the things, when Mother was 5 years old and her mother died, and they left 10 siblings, 10. And the oldest was 17, Uncle Woodson, and Aunt Maddie was 16. And the rest of them were down to Mother at 5 years old, 10 of them. Defects came to the house that they were living in, and Uncle Woodson came out on the porch with a double-barrel shotgun. And he looked at them, and he pointed the gun at them and said, if you come back, I will kill you. We are going to raise these children. You're not going to separate us. Well, you got to realize this is 91 years ago. Defects never came back. And Uncle Woodson and Aunt Maddie raised those kids, and all 10 of them became very successful, not in a financial way that you think, but all 10 lived very productive lives. They were good people, they were honest people, and they were hardworking people, all because they were raised just to love each other. I was trying to think of some stories. One of my favorite stories of Mother was about 30 years ago, Eddie and I were sitting at her living room, her dining room table, and she has a real small kitchen. And he and I got into a really heated argument. I mean, I was Pastor Buren still, but I was as mad as I could be. It got so heated that we stood up and was going at each other, and I was just about to lay him out because I was going to let him know I am not the little brother that you used to lay out all the time, and I'm about to lay him out. And she stood up, and it was like Big John, and she took one arm and she slammed me up against the stove. And she took the other arm and she slammed Eddie up against the sink, and she stood there like Samson, just holding the, I mean, we couldn't move. And it was so funny. We both just burst out laughing like, yeah, we're going to really wear each other out, and we can't even wear our mother out. She has pinned us against the refrigerator and the sink. And we laughed so hard, that's all we could do is just laugh. But I was thinking, there's so many scriptures, really, she lives out so great. But my favorite scripture, if I say of a big mother today, would be this. One day in your courts is better than 1,000 anywhere else. That has been her life. One day in his courts, to her, is worth more than 1,000 anywhere else. And I remember when I stopped Sunday night services. Oh, my gosh. Mother has never got on to me about anything I've ever done pastoring but that. And she still brings it up every now and then. But Mother has lived her life better from Romans 14 than anyone I've ever seen. Just because you believe something's wrong doesn't mean that somebody else believes that something's wrong. But she will never, ever put her beliefs on you. She'll never judge you for believing something that she doesn't believe, or for believing what she believes is sin and you don't believe is sin. She'll never, ever, and never has judged people for that. My mother today still will not wear pants. She'll not put on a pair of pants. She definitely wouldn't wear them to church. But you know what? She won't judge you for doing it. My mother still believes coffee and donuts belong in the kitchen at home, not at church. She's not going to judge you for drinking coffee and eating donuts at church, though. She will never let a sip of wine touch her lips, but she's not going to judge you for a sip of wine touching your lips. She's not going to judge you for anything. She's going to keep her faith to herself, and that's what the Apostle Paul said. What you believe is sin, then keep it to yourself. Don't try to put it on somebody else. And she has lived her life not judging other people. If there's one thing I've learned from her more than anything, and Dusty mentioned it, is not to judge people. Do not condemn other people for what they allow themselves to do. She's been the most loving, kind mother. She did pray me into the kingdom. I would come home at night, and I remember going to the bed, and I'll never forget her going in the den, and she prayed loud enough so I could hear her. She did. It wasn't praying just under her lips. No, she was in there praying kind of like this. God, you know who he is, and you know that what you've called him to do, and I'm just praying that you convict him and that he gives his heart to you. And I mean, I'm just laying there between those white sheets going, my gosh, this is terrible. But I'm glad she never stopped praying. I remember coming home. We moved into a new house. Kitty can be coming. We moved into a new house. And I came home late one night, like I came home a lot of nights. And this time I was a little more coming home like that than I normally were coming home like that. And I was pretty much just stumbling down the hallway, and a door was open, and I just bammed that door. I mean, a big old knot on my head, and she didn't say a word. She knew he's drunk. Next night, I come home, open the back door, and there are little lights in every receptacle. Little lights. It looked like a runway. I was bringing a plane in. And the fact of the matter was, I was flying. but I wasn't flying a plane. But I thought, what a mother. What a mother. You're not going to hit your drunken head on a door tonight. I'm going to make sure the light's on for you. And the lights have always been on for us. Always been on. Never has condemned us. Never has judged us. Just accepted us and loved us. And you know what? Love wins. Love will always triumph over evil. Love will always, always win. And because of her, you're here today. Not just me. We're all here today because of her. Every single one of us are here today because of her. Because of a mother who would pray. Now, there's some things that my generation, you hear this be said a lot. I want my kids to have more than I had. How many of you ever heard that in your generation? I want my kids to have more. I want to tell you something. When you say that from now on, don't let it be things that you want them to have more of. Let it be a godly heritage. I want my kids to have a greater godly heritage than I had. I want them to be more loving than I was. I want them to be more committed than I was. That's the legacy. That's the things you want to pass on. Because my mother and father never had a lot. My mother wore the same dress every day in summer. But you know what? When school was out in May, June, my mother took me and Eddie to Moore Powell. And she picked out our school clothes starting September. And she put them on layaway and paid for them all summer long. And then she'd start in October going and putting our toys on layaway and pay for them all up until Christmas. And then she's in January, she'd go put our Easter clothes on layaway and she'd pay them until Easter came along. She always put us first. Always. And Raph, you'd be joining me. Raph and I were talking the other day, and the neat thing was that she's the oldest school of positive thinking graduate.
Absolutely.
And anywhere.
Anywhere, man.
Anywhere. And Mother came to the School of Positive Thinking every Wednesday night. And one of the things she would say to me, I don't understand it, but I just feel good. So I don't understand everything he says. I said, Mama, none of us understands everything he says. So that's not a big deal. But she said, but I feel so much better. And share something.
Sister Kelly Mae.
Hold that up, Nancy.
Oh, okay. I've,
you know better.
I don't know if I've ever done this before. Is it on?
We're not on? There it is.
First time I met Miss Kelly Mae was in January of 1976. Bjorn had just took over the church. I think it was Full Gospel then, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Full Gospel. Brother Goss was retiring, turned the church over to Bjorn. First Sunday in January of 76. And the second Sunday of January of 76, I came to visit and spoke that morning. Is when I first met her. And there's been a special spot in my heart ever since then, because truly she as what Scripture called the Mother of Israel. First look of her, you knew she's a mother of the body of Christ. And there was a taking in my heart for her. It always has been, especially because in June when I came back in 76 and ran the church's first revival. Sister Gulf's there every night. It was there at that revival that I lost my mother. When I got a call from the funeral home to come home, my mother had passed. And I remember Sister Goss putting those arms, as Dusty said, around me and said, everything's going to be okay. Everything is going to be okay. Since June of 76 until September of 2015, I've enjoyed kidding her. That I'm going to come over to her house and eat. But truly a mother in Israel. I was thinking this morning about, mentioned a while ago about Delbert and Judy, pastoring now, the impact she had on their lives. I was thinking about Billy Shower this morning. She truly was a mother to Billy and Francis. And to Jean Shirey. She was that mother figure. She saw these young men come into a church and that she was mother of. And it was through that mothering spirit that's still in this house today. And it will never leave. I saw her this morning as I was meditating in this. And at the time, she had kept Brother Goss, E.D. Goss, encouraged. We started this journey together, encouraging him to go on. And it was through that encouragement that she took and raised Eddie and Bjorn. that took on the heritage of their father and their mother. But as I was thinking about you this morning, Sister Goss, I had this very positive experience, warm feelings, that we're never alone. Whatever you lived in, you kept in. Isaiah 26:3 says, whose mind is stayed on God is kept in peace.
All right.
You've been kept in what you've lived all your life. You saw God as a 5-year-old. You saw him intervene, protect, take care of. You've lived in that mindset for over 90 some odd years, and you've been kept in that. In the book of Acts, it says, Joel prophesied, it says, your young men shall see visions, but your older people will dream dreams. I really see you in the next few days, months, weeks, dreaming dreams. You'll be visited by dreams of Brother E.D. again. You'll be visited by dreams from loved ones that's passed on, that's waiting. For he gives you dreams. You had dreams years ago of the future, and you've seen it fulfilled. You've seen Buren get his act straightened out. That was a dream. You saw Eddie grow into a fine young man. Fine great-grandchildren. That's a dream. Future dreams that you've lived to see fulfilled. But now the dreams you have will be now what's waiting on you. See, always remember, God gave Elijah a chariot to go to heaven in. You'll be given the dreams. And it'd be these dreams you'll have of Brother E.D. again. Family members again. Really, I envy you. I'm so proud for you. I'm thankful that you've touched our lives. As one of the young men, you've touched our lives. And I'll forever be grateful and thankful.
Yeah.
And you will forever live in the memes of my brain, of my mind, of a godly woman, the mother of Israel. And this I want to honor you, my friend.
Amen. I'm going to ask someone that will bring Mother down. While they're preparing to do that, just want to, today is second Sunday of the month, and it's called the Sacrament of Healing for us. And Mother's asked the Lord for one thing. All she asked, she said, I just want to be able to get around a little bit better. She's not asking for a miracle. She just wants to get around a little bit better. But here's what I want to do. I want you to, we're going to pray for her in a moment. Just right here is fine, Michael. That's good. We're going to pray for her, but I want you to stand. And I want you to listen real closely, because this is for every person here. You're here today, and you want to leave your kids a godly heritage. You want to leave them something that you're not focusing on right now as much as you know you ought to be focusing on. But you want to leave your kids more than anything else. Not for them to have more than you have, other than spirituality. But you want to do that. I want to ask you to come and just stand across this front. You may have never committed your life to Christ. You want to commit your life to Christ today. Or you want to say, I want to recommit my life to Christ. I want to make Christ first and foremost in my life. And my goal from this day forward is to know that one day, when I'm in my 90s, I'll look back and have and know a godly heritage. And I passed on to my kids something that no money can't buy, that is priceless, is a godly heritage. So if you'll be coming, if you're sick today, you want to be anointed with oil, we'll pray for you. But I just want to give you a few moments to come and stand across this front and saying, I want to leave my kids something that I'm not focusing on right now that I ought to be focusing on. You know, before you leave, I want you to stand here a moment and just all of you that's come down, I want you to stay here through this song in a moment. But this is what I want to say, especially you young people. You heard something today, whether it was through Mark, Dusty, or myself, but you heard something today that's going to change your life forever. And that a seed has been sown in your heart. That's the greatest seed that can ever be sown in your heart. And that you, from this day forward, are going to see life in such a different light. You're not going to see life the way you've seen it in the days gone by. This was not just a day to celebrate Mother, but not just a day to acknowledge her and honor her. It was a day where God is saying to this church, is saying to you, this is a new beginning for you. It's a brand new beginning. You are not going to see life the way you used to see life. You'll see it in its simplicity. You'll see it in all of its goodness. You'll see it in the things that really do matter. Because it's not an abundance of things that a man possesses that he finds fulfillment in life. It's not in that. It's in knowing God. It's in knowing peace. It's in knowing love. It's in knowing kindness. It's in knowing gentleness. And that is what's going to happen to this church from this day forward. Is a brand new outlook on life. You're not going to see life the way you used to see it. You're not going to see life the way you're going to see life the way you ought to see life, and things that really do matter. And you know what's going to happen? You seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all those things will just be added to you. So, Mother, these three wonderful people here,
and Kitty.
And Kitty, of course. Is going to sing you a song just for you. You got your grandson playing the guitar, your great-grandson, and you got your granddaughter, great-granddaughter, and your granddaughter. And we're just going to worship the Lord with this song together. It's just...